stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, the disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday afternoon, and I have all kinds of illustrations for this, so this is the most recent, okay? Yesterday afternoon, Jackie's my wife, and I asked her to come with me today, but she has to be with the grandkids, so she brings greetings, though. But we went to an estate sale. I like going to estate sales to find treasures, you know, somewhere in the bedrooms or in the kitchens or in the living rooms, there's a treasure to be found in the wall or a piece of furniture or something. So yesterday afternoon, we went to an estate sale in Fayetteville. And as is my habit, I'm kind of sorting through things. And I find a couple little things, little treasures to buy that I will sell in a yard sales next summer sometime. So anyway, I got those. And as we were leaving, the lady, you know, I gave her $10 or something, and she gave me back my change. And she said, thank you, and have a blessed day. So, since I came back here a couple years ago from St. Louis, that's kind of common. I've heard that many times. People will say, like when I buy groceries, thank you, have a blessed day. It's real common. Or just a greeting in the morning, good morning, have a blessed day. And that seems nice, right? I mean, it's a very nice greeting. It seems that the folks who say that I think they truly mean it. But I can't help but wonder, and I've wondered it for a long time, what does it mean to have a blessed day or a blessed life? And I couldn't resist talking about this because of today, right? The Beatitudes, blessed are. And we go on, I think, 8, right? The blessings, these Beatitudes. So I thought, I'll share my thoughts on what a blessed day is. I think that those who share that greeting, first of all, they have goodwill, that this is something good. And so one part of it is, I think the meaning behind it is, I hope nothing bad happens to you today. That there's no evil for you. There's no bad fortune for you today. You know, no car accidents, you know. No branches from a tree falling on your head or something like that. No hurricanes, you know. That sort of thing. So I think I hope nothing bad happens to you today. And secondly, I think when they say, have a blessed day, they want something good to happen to you. So one is, part of it is, don't want anything bad to happen. Number two is, I hope something very good happens to you today. So that may be, maybe you get a raise at your job, right? Maybe you have, in the mail, you receive a windfall from some sort of inheritance, some long-lost uncle or aunt or something that gave you a couple thousand dollars or something in a will long ago. Who knows? Or I don't know, somebody just came by, a long-lost friend who wrote you a letter that day. But something good. And the third part of this, I think, is that they're letting you know, I think in an uncalculated way, they're letting you know, God has been good to me and blessed me, and I'm sharing his blessings with you. And I'm bearing witness to that by saying this to you. That it's my testimony of sorts that may God bless you today. So, to recap, I think it means nothing bad happens, something good happens, and I'm letting you know God has blessed me, and now I'm sharing a bit of his blessing with you. Okay. So that's the contemporary understanding in the state of North Carolina of what that means. Now, I'm not going to write a dissertation on this. You can challenge me all you want. That's fine. I'm open to discussion. But in the context now of the Beatitudes, of what Jesus is teaching and preaching to his disciples and those following him up the mountain, right? What did it mean then? What does it mean to be blessed then? Well, in the Greek culture at the time, to be blessed meant, have stuff. And the understanding is, they're rich. If you're blessed, that means you got a lot of hectares or acres of land, right? Probably a big house, lots of cattle, livestock, and so on. Gold and silver, big family, lots of children. Literally, you could either count it or weigh it or measure it. That's what it meant to be blessed in the old times of Greek culture. And in Judaism at the time, to be blessed meant that God looked with favor upon you. God had great favor upon you, right? But now, here comes this upstart prophet, Jesus, right? The Messiah of God, that we know. And he's teaching that blessed are who? Poor. Bless those who mourn. Something is upside down. Again, Jesus, once again, he confronts the status quo, particularly of the faithful, the chosen, if you will. And he says to them, by the way, whatever you thought about blessedness probably is wrong. It's probably wrong. And so he continues to talk to them about blessed are those who. And it's not exactly blessed are the rich, blessed are the powerful. Huh? Doesn't look like it to me. And if you read it, even in the original, it doesn't shed any more light. It's pretty much what it says in the English. Blessed are those who mourn, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Something doesn't seem right here. Or is it? All Saints liturgically follows on what was last Sunday? Reformation, right? It was all about Reformation. And Reformation is all about this monk who nailed some 95 theses on a church door and started a pretty big movement called Protestant Christianity. And we're part of that. We're Lutherans, of course. And in that, he went back to the foundations of the Christian message. That the righteous will live by faith alone. Not by works. But by faith alone. And so today, liturgically we follow, subsequently we follow with All Saints Sunday. The faithful. It's about you and your journey. It's about you, the faithful. Those who believe that long ago message preached by the apostles, subsequently preached by many, many pastors and bishops and elders and lay folk, preached that those who would enter into the kingdom of God must do so not by works of righteousness, but by faith alone. So yours is the kingdom of God. Not some time later, but now. The kingdom of God is here and now. Jesus attested to that fact time and again in his ministry. Miracles and words. Blind see, lame can walk, raises the dead. This is evidence that something different is going on. In the history of humanity, something different is going on. Yes, it's the kingdom of God is now come among us. And Jesus is ushering it in, the Prince of Peace himself. The very Son of God comes, the Messiah of God, the Anointed One, is here among us. People could talk to him. They could eat with him. Laughed with him. Here he is among us. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here in the flesh, ushering in his kingdom. And he proves it. Time and again he proves it. He said, can't you see the truth? Here is the kingdom. And all those who came to follow him, to believe in him, from that day forward, till now, are members, citizens, of this thing we call the kingdom of God. And you know what we call those people who are members of the kingdom of God? Saints. That's right. Saints. That'd be you. Saints. And you may scratch your head and you say, man, I'm not too comfortable with being called a saint. That's okay. I think that's part of humility, that you're not very comfortable becoming a saint because you've heard other churches refer to saints as those who have, well, led a pretty phenomenal life, you know, journey of faith, right? Mother Teresa comes to mind, right? So you say, well, I'm no Mother Teresa, right? And I'm certainly not like Saint Paul or Saint Matthew or Saint Mark. Really? You know what you have in common with all those people I just mentioned? They entered the kingdom of God the very same way you did, by faith alone in Jesus Christ. You see, their lives were not perfect. Their lives were hardly pictures of holiness. Even the people I mentioned. Look at St. Paul. I don't think so. Far from perfect. Matter of fact, stood by and watched as Christians were martyred. You know, today, I can't resist talking about this. Today we have two pretty imperfect candidates running for president, right? Filled with lots of faults. Two people. One's man, one's woman, so we have equality here. Both have all kinds of faults. And we hear about somebody's got thousands of emails that people somehow got a hold of and they're reading them and sorting through them. And somebody else who's been recorded doing things and the audio gets out and we hear some pretty vulgar things. Wow. Two imperfect candidates. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that no one has gone through all of my emails in my life and looked through everything. And that nobody's ever recorded all my conversations I've had, I thought were private. I'm thankful. Because if they sorted through all that stuff and thousands of people would go through it, wow, I'd raise my hand and say, sinner, I'm not perfect either. Far from it. I am a sinner. And that's what the world doesn't get. They say, they see you and me every day, right? We are, call ourselves saints, believers. And they say, well, you sure don't look like it. You sure don't act like it. What is it that's different about you? And the only difference is that you have come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, these beatitudes make absolutely no sense to someone who has not come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It doesn't make any sense to the world. The world would say those who are blessed, who have positions of authority, who do have lots of stuff, lots of square feet in their house, lots of cars in their garages, lots of money in the bank. That's what blessed means, oftentimes, in our world, as the world understands it. But that's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about grace and mercy in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. Your membership, for many of you, if not most of you here today, maybe all, I don't know, your membership came into existence when you were baptized into Christ. You put on His very innocence, His holiness, His sinlessness in the waters of baptism. Today, as the community of the believers, you'll come and receive His body and blood for the forgiveness of what? Your sins, right? It's heavenly. It's part of the kingdom of God. To the world, when they see us communing here, they don't see what you see. They don't believe what you believe. There, we together, with all the saints, what did we hear from Revelation? This great body of witnesses, right? They're there with us now, today. They too are rejoicing at the throne of the Lamb. Today, not some distant future time, but today. And this is always our hope as Christian people. The evidence, you see, to the world is foolishness. Those without faith in Jesus look at the saints and think, what fools you are. Why would you say or believe that being blessed happens when you're mourning or when you're poor in spirit or when you hunger and thirst for righteousness? It makes no sense to the world because they are not part of this kingdom of God of which you're part of. To them, it's foreign. It's not discernible. They don't get it and won't get it. But what they do see is this great community of believers on earth, the saints. They see you, how you love one another, how in the midst of your mourning, you do not despair, how in the midst of your poverty, you do not abandon the faith. This is what they see. This is your testimony to the world. Your journey in life is the testimony to the world that they don't get. But it is our joy. It is our hope that the Christian church remains steadfast until the very end. And this is great blessing. That today, in the midst of all these things, the Christian church comes together and finds comfort with one another, the fellowship of believers. That we find fellowship at the altar. And that as we leave today, that we are confident in the midst of all the struggles of life, all of them, whatever they may be, personal, familial, community, all those struggles, we are absolutely certain that as members of the kingdom of God, our Savior, our King, will never, ever abandon us. That we remain steadfast. This is what the world sees. How do they do it, they say? By grace. This is how we do it. The grace of God in Christ, day in and day out. This is our hope and joy. So today, with all humility, you may go home. I give you permission to look in the mirror and say, I am a saint. I am a saint solely by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And by that same grace, we will persevere. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.